Yeah, so we are fortunate in that we have the largest mineable measured and indicated uranium deposit in the United States, along with
Wow.
SMR technology. So we are that integrated nuclear company in America. But in 2024, the United States only produced 677,000 pounds. So there's a lot of reliance on imports right now. Now, half of that comes from Canada and Australia, the other half is from Russia, Kazakhstan, and Uzbekistan. So what we have is a Western response to, relying on all those foreign nations for uranium. Yeah, I would just say that keep an eye out for our work program that's starting in July here. So we want to get those drills turning. We want to get that additional information and feed that into our pre-feasibility study, right? We want to de-risk this asset as much as possible. We think when we have that in hand, it's definitely going to catch the attention of the administration and the government. I know the Department of Energy and all that are working towards, stabilizing our supply chain when it comes to nuclear fuel cycles. So, for us to be a part of that story is quite exciting.
Good day, everybody. It's Steve Yang here, Natural Resource Stocks. Today, I've got with me Mark Mukhija, CEO of Eagle Nuclear Energy. Mark, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Steve. How about yourself?
Not bad. Mark, for those who do not know what you guys are all about, if we can start off, first of all, by if you can give us the website, your company name, and ticker where you're trading.
Yep. So the company name is Eagle Nuclear Energy Corp. We're trading on the NASDAQ. The symbol is NUCL, and the website is eaglenuclear.com.
Awesome. Yeah, Mark, let's get into it. Eagle Nuclear Energy, what are you guys all about? Why are you guys relevant? I mean, for those who don't know the story, if you can give us the 50,000-foot view.
Yeah, so we are fortunate in that we have the largest mineable measured and indicated uranium deposit in the United States, along with
Wow.
SMR technology. So we are that integrated nuclear company in America.
So what did you say about technology?
Yeah, we have SMR technology in the portfolio as well. So not only do we have the fuel, which is, the uranium asset, we also got the SMR technology as well.
Do others have that as well? Is that something that, how does that uniquely place you with other companies?
Yeah, we're the only company that has both the uranium asset and the SMR technology in one company.
All right. Well, let's start with the uranium, your flagship. If you want to, my understanding is you're Nevada and Oregon, first of all.
Correct. So our land package spans the Oregon and Nevada border. Our asset has about 50 million pounds of unconstrained resource there. But we did an S-K 1300 report, which showed that we have 32.75 million pounds of indicated resource and 5 million pounds inferred. And the mine itself is on the Oregon side of the border, but we would plan to do the processing in Nevada on private land that we own.
So you guys are the largest mineable nuclear. So is that,
Yeah, largest
I mean,
mineable measured and indicated uranium deposit in America.
uranium, not nuclear. So what's it like? What do you think you guys have in terms of space, or in terms of scale here?
Yeah, so uranium is so important right now to the future of the country, and when it comes to energy independence and national security, the nation's got 94 reactors that use 50 million pounds per year of uranium. But in 2024, the United States only produced 677,000 pounds. So there's a lot of reliance on imports right now. Now, half of that comes from Canada and Australia. The other half is from Russia, Kazakhstan, and Uzbekistan. So what we have is a Western response to, relying on all those foreign nations for uranium.
So uranium is I mean, right now, the fact that you're US, what significance do you guys find in that? And then if you can kind of drill down into I know that Nevada is pretty one of the most friendly jurisdictions for what we do here, but Oregon, my understanding, might take a little bit slower, more restrictive. Can you kind of break that down for me?
Yeah, so Oregon, there's no rules or laws preventing uranium mining there. Obviously we have to go through our own steps and making sure that we have all the requisite permits and studies completed to do that. But there are other projects in our jurisdiction that are moving ahead with projects, mining projects there in the state. And Nevada, as you mentioned, is a great mining state, and we plan to do our processing on the Nevada side of the border.
Are there other people in the area, peers, that may be relevant to mention?
Yeah, so there's the Jindalee lithium mine, which is about 10 miles to the west of us, and there's the Grassy Mountain Gold Project, also in our county. And it's worth noting that both those projects are on the FAST-41 dashboard. So if you remember, last year there was an executive order that came out in March regarding boosting domestic mineral production on projects on federal land. And our project is also on federal BLM land as well.
So the expectation is that you would be also on the fast track as well.
Yeah, we would do whatever it takes to kind of get on that list as well. And we've engaged a permitting firm that, helped the other two projects in our county get on FAST-41, and that's SLR.
And could you talk about the infrastructure in the area as well as access to water? Because you guys are just kind of seem to be landlocked, if my geography is any good.
Yeah, so there's substation nearby, so there's access to power. When it comes to water, there's different options that we'll likely explore on that, whether it's groundwater or whether there's another way for us to get the water rights. We understand that that's going to be very important for the project.
So what's your next step moving forward? Are you guys looking to are you guys what stage are you guys in, first of all?
So we're in advanced exploration. So we have the benefit that the projects are already had over 600 drill holes done here historically.
Okay.
And what our next step is to do a work program that we're intending to start in summer of this year. And the idea behind that is to do about 47, 50 kind of drill holes, and that will feed into a pre-feasibility study. So what we're focused on is, metallurgical testing, hydrogeology, rock mechanics, and a bit of exploration drilling as well, because we think there's an opportunity to expand the size of the resource too.
How long before we think we can confirm what you think you have there?
Well, we already know what we have there. So, because of having over the 600 holes already,
Okay.
this drilling is more so for what's required for the next step, which is that pre-feasibility study and
Okay.
into that engineering work going forward. And look, the additional drilling we're doing is also going to provide more information, which could only expand the resource.
Do you have other assets as well in the area? Is this the major one? What other ones are worth mentioning here?
So we have the main deposit, which I've talked about, but there is exploration upside on the property itself. So there's
Okay.
another kind of deposit zone that we could target for additional drilling and increase our resource inventory through there as well. But that's still in, a planning phase on that. We're digitizing historic holes in that region, and that will feed into any kind of drill planning that we intend to do.
Okay. All right. So let's go to the finances real quick here. First of all, I'm looking at the map before we do the finances. You guys are next to an airport. Is that correct?
Yep. There is an airstrip nearby, correct?
Okay. And then you guys are right next to Jindalee Lithium.
Yep.
And then Lithium America is a Thacker Pass.
Yeah, so
Okay.
Thacker Pass is
So.
also in the same caldera as us. So us, Lithium Americas, and Jindalee are all part of the
No.
McDermitt Caldera.
So, what drew you to this project, and how long have you guys had it for?
It's just the size and magnitude of the project, Steve. So that's what drew us to it. We've had the project since 2024. So we were always long nuclear. We knew the power demand increase that was coming from AI, crypto, quantum computing, humanoid robotics. So we know what kind of inflection point we're at right now, where the power demand is going to start going considerably higher. And I guess the only way to address that is through nuclear, and that's why we wanted to be a part of that story.
And Mark, let's do your finances real quick. Let's go to your balance. What's your current cash position right now, and how far does it take you?
Yep, so we've got about $31 million in the bank right now.
Is that
So
US
what
or on?
US, yep. And so what comprises of that is we had a $30 million PIPE investment. That was part of our go public, and then we had $5 million stay in trust from our SPAC, and then net the fees out, we got $31 million, and that should take us well over 2 years.
And where does the whole technology stuff come in? Is that cash flowing for you guys? I mean, is that, you mentioned pipes. I don't know what, if you can, I'm not familiar with the technology. So if you can break that down for me and how that gives you guys an edge.
So the technology is a small modular reactor technology that we have in our portfolio as well. It's from the University of New Mexico. It's still in a very early phase, Steve, but it allows us to do concept validation and component testing. We can allocate a couple million dollars there and see what we have. We've hired a head of licensing that has a lot of experience with the NRC, and that can help dictate our R&D efforts with that NRC lens in mind. It's essentially our call option on the nuclear future. Our priority, though, is on that uranium asset.
So you guys have 31 million US in the bank. Do you guys anticipate additional financing in the near future? Is this something that you can, is like a couple of years down the road? What are you guys thinking?
Well, the great thing is that we don't have to raise money right away. So what we can do is focus on execution, right? We can focus on the work program that we have, getting our pre-feasibility study done, and then establish that track record so that when we do raise capital, we've already kind of done what we said we were going to do. And then we'll evaluate when we need to bring capital in.
Okay. And then let's do share structure. If you can break that down for me, shares outstanding, fully diluted. How many do you have?
There's about 31 million shares outstanding.
That's pretty tight. So what's your philosophy on dilution? Do you guys have, what's your experience with raising money as well?
Look, so we'll evaluate, raising money when, like as I mentioned, once we've achieved milestones, right? And the share's doing well, the liquidity is there. That's something we'll definitely evaluate.
Well done with the structure there. And I looked at your ownership as well. But if you can, before we do ownership, if you can give us the options and warrants that are worth mentioning, is there any that's going to create pressure or help fund the next phase here?
Yeah, so there's SPAC warrants that are there at 1150. Look, that if those get exercised, it just gives us more money to spend on the business.
And then ownership, who owns you guys, or who's the major owners, and are there any institutions and owners that are worth mentioning here?
Yeah, so the majority is the existing Eagle shareholders. That's about 66%. So there's the SPAC and the rights holders and the sponsors probably make up about, I would say, 15, 16%. And then we have the singular institutional investor that came in and wrote that $30 million PIPE check. They comprise about 17% of the cap table.
Okay. And are you guys looking to attract more institutions? Are you guys all open, active on the open market? If you can comment on that.
Yeah, well, being in a hot sector right now, there's no shortage of funds and institutions that want to get involved. And I am meeting with said funds whenever I'm in New York or doing those kind of conferences and things of that nature. So there's a lot of interest right now, and we're open to have some conversations around that.
Okay. And the market cap, where are you guys, and how do you compare with your peers?
Yeah, market cap, we're sitting around $225 million today. It's kind of in line with some of the other uranium plays right now that are in our similar size and nature, but look, there's a lot of opportunity for us to run from here.
What is the market maybe like not pricing in, or where do you see the opportunity for investors here?
Well, I think it's just that domestic story, right? There's such a limited supply of U.S. uranium, and especially when we're in this energy crisis that we're in now and geopolitical tensions with where we're importing that uranium, to have a U.S.
Right.
supply of uranium of this size and magnitude, I think it's a big deal.
I don't think that's going away anytime soon.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Mark, let's go to your team a bit. We just met, but for those who don't know you, if you can tell us kind of your background, how you joined the company, as well as your experience, as well as maybe some important team members that you have around you.
Yeah, so I'm a mining engineer by education. I've got my professional designation. I started my career with BHP in Australia, so that's where I got my technical and operational foundation. I've spent some time in underground and open pit diamonds. I was an engineering team leader in Alberta for a couple of years. And then I moved into the mining technology sector. So this was a startup that was using AI, machine learning, and computer vision all around making mining safer and more productive. Now, they saw the Australia on my resume and they shipped me back out there to be managing director Asia Pacific for a few years. And look, I got the technology deployed at some of the major companies out there, and it helped shape my conviction that, innovation is not just going to be to mining, it's going to be every industry. And when you look at clean power, reliable energy, and advanced technology, they're going to converge in that nuclear sector. So that's why I wanted to be a part of this story. And then look, I'm blessed to be surrounded by some great people on the team as well. Our VP Operations, Vishal Gupta, has 20 years of experience in mining, professional geo. He's worked as a mining analyst. He brings a lot of that operational ability to the team, especially as we look at, doing work on our project and potential M&A opportunities. And then we've got Ben Agnew, who's our head of licensing, who's got 27 years of experience in nuclear, 20 years of that at Entergy, has a lot of interaction with the NRC from his previous roles and can help give us that licensing lens when we do any of our R&D activities. So great team around us and exciting times ahead for sure.
Mark, for your biggest fans who've invested heavily in your company, there are, I mean, yes, uranium is in the US is pretty hot stuff, but there are other uranium companies to invest in. So if we were to ask your investors why they invested heavily with you guys, what might they say? What did they like about you guys that maybe really caught their eye?
Yeah, I would just say it's the size of the deposit, right? So it's just so big and has so much growth potential there. Some of the other projects in the nation, they're kind of restricted up by what's there, and they only have maybe 10 million pounds or so. But what we've got is just this massive deposit. It's shallow, it's flat, it's tabular, it's relatively easy to get out of the ground. So it gives us that opportunity to bring these pounds online at a time when the nation needs uranium to fuel their reactors.
Mark, any other news that you'd like to share that the investors can be on the lookout for, and what's the best way to follow your story?
Yeah, I would just say that keep an eye out for our work program that's starting in July here. So we want to get those drills turning. We want to get that additional information and feed that into our pre-feasibility study, right? We want to de-risk this asset as much as possible. We think when we have that in hand, it's definitely going to catch the attention of the administration and the government. I know the Department of Energy and all that are working towards, stabilizing our supply chain when it comes to nuclear fuel cycle. So, for us to be a part of that story is quite exciting. You can follow us on LinkedIn, X, all those other channels that are available in our website as well for different kinds of news releases, and you can sign up there as well to get the latest.
For our listeners, Mark Mukhija and Eagle Nuclear Energy have not paid for this interview. I am not currently an investor. This has come to my desk as an intriguing company. And Mark, thank you for your time to introduce me as well as the listeners. Everyone, do your due diligence. I am not giving investment advice, but one of the ways you can do that is to reach out to Mark with the information he's had. EagleNuclear.com, and check out the ticker. If you can give the ticker website and the socials one more time, Mark, for our listeners.
Yep, the ticker is NUCL on the NASDAQ. The website is eaglenuclear.com, and you can follow us on X or LinkedIn.
Mark, thank you so much. Look forward to following your story, my friend.
Thank you so much, Steve. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.